hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you. Yes, it is a very special day here at the Scuba Radio Studios because it is Cinco de Mayo. And we are going to celebrate in style as we get ready to launch out right after the show to the Long Beach Dive Show, the Scuba Show in Long Beach, California. But we're going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo today in several ways, some that you may not appreciate as much as others, but you'll have to tolerate it just the same. We are going to give away a nice little prize, an iRadar radar detector from Cobra today to one lucky winner. And we'll also celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Scuba Radio Drunken Santa has diversified into every holiday out there. And I have heard, you know, a couple weeks ago, he was dressed up as a giant Earth on the road here in front of the Scuba Radio Studios. I have heard that he actually is celebrating Cinco de Mayo and has dressed up as a giant jalapeno pepper. I don't know what it's all about, but the guy's working his butt off. I don't know what it is. It's just the economy is even filtering down to our resident drunks. And he's decided to do more than just be a Santa Claus. And at least he's working, I guess. So we'll delve into that monstrosity a little bit later on to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Talk about the Scuba Show in Long Beach, California, the Rebreather Forum 3 happening in Orlando in a couple weeks. We got a full plate of stuff to share with you today on the Cinco de Mayo edition of Scuba Radio. But first, my good friend Pete from Scuba Board is on the line. Pete, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, my friend. I'm ready to celebrate Cinco de Mayo with Cinco de Juno.
Cinco de Juno. Well, you're going to sink a wreck in Juno? Well, no. Wait, where is
June.
This?
June.
In June. Okay, all right, there you go. All right, in the Florida Keys, down there near Key West, right?
Well, actually, no, it's not going to be sunk in Key West. It's going to be sunk off of Sanibel Island up in whatever that county is up there.
In Sanibel Island. Oh, okay, give me more geography for our folks not as good as I am.
Well, the boat is in Key West,
okay,
and it's called the Mohawk. It's the U.S.
Right.
Coast Guard Mohawk, and I think we talked about it last time. I can't remember.
Yeah.
You know, what the Nazis failed to do, Joe Weatherby's going to successfully handle and sink this ship 22 miles off of Sanibel Island in 95 foot of water.
All right, so Sanibel Island, though, is that in the Keys or not?
No, dude, it's right just south of Tampa.
All right, well, I knew that. I just wanted to make sure everyone else listening knew that. You hear what I'm saying?
All right,
So they're taking it up from Key West, to south of Tampa there, off of Sanibel Island, and they're going to sink this puppy. And do you know any specifics, like how deep a water and that kind of thing, or what?
95 feet.
Okay, 95 feet. And how tall is the ship? Do we know?
They say they're going to have about a 50-foot, 45-foot between the top, below the ocean, below the surface.
Okay, all right. So that's pretty standard for a good wreck dive. But
actually, you know, it's going to have most of the superstructure, the stuff that you're going to want to meet, you're going to want to see, probably right at 65 foot. So this is really going to be just on that cusp from being an advanced open water to being just a regular dive.
Yeah, well, that sounds, I kind of like the sound of that. That sounds pretty good. Now, that area is obviously well known for Well, wrecks, some wrecks, not many, I guess, but for spear fishing and hunting and that kind of thing, because there's not a lot of reef structure there. So
there will be more.
There will be more now. Exactly. So I guess that's the goal. And do they think that'll be are you familiar with that particular area specifically much as far as diving is concerned or not so much?
You know, I have dove off it before, mostly, like you say, for spear fishing. And you have to go a long way out to get any depth. So, I mean, this is why this boat is being sunk 22 miles offshore. So it's going to be a good ride to get there. But, you know, it's just aching for stuff like this. This is going to be a great thing for everybody to have this wreck down there, especially for the fish. They really expect it to attract a lot of jewfish.
Well, it'll be like a southern version or a mini version of the Oriskany, just further south on the west coast there, right?
And a little bit more accessible to the average diver.
Yeah, well, I like the sound of that. Yeah, I have not done any spearfishing or really, I haven't done hardly any diving off the west coast of Florida. Very, very little. I've went out there like once and did a dive. But it's not as known for the folks in Florida to go over there outside of, well, you got Venice Beach, you go look for shark teeth and then go off and do some spearfishing. And, you know, that's not really my thing so much, but I appreciate the activity. But I don't know. I mean, do you think, overlooked by a lot of Florida divers like myself? We ought to get over there and do some more diving. Maybe this will give us another reason to go check it out, or what, Pete?
I think that's true. I think that's exactly the whole point here, is that it is overlooked. You know, it's the same water, it's the same fish, it's the same creatures. It's just that we like to have structure, just like fish love structure. We like to have structure because it brings in the fish, and the fish tend to aggregate in these areas. So I think it'll do a great job of bringing the divers, bringing money into Lee County, as well as bringing fish in closer to shore.
Well, nice. And once again, it's Cinco de Mayo, but we're talking about a Cinco en Junio, according
exactly.
to Pete from Scuba Board, which is very appropriate. So that, do we have the, well, okay, what's the specific date or range?
We don't know yet.
Okay, but just sometime
it's
in June.
It's leaving in the next week to go to Fort Myers, to get finished cleaning up. It's only going to be a 6-week clean job because the boat isn't that big. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a Coast Guard cutter. And mind you, this was an ice cutter. This boat was designed an ice cutter, so this boat will be around a long time because the hull has an extra 5/8 thick band welded around it for the hull for crushing ice.
Nice. Okay. Well, that ought to hold up well in the underwater environment then. Keep that structure in place.
Looking at some of the swim throughs that they've got planned, it's going to be a very accessible boat. You'll have a lot of fun on this boat.
I like it. All right, we'll keep our eyes on that. And of course, you can follow the progress there at scubaboard.com.
Of course.
And Pete and their gang will be monitoring the progress of the Mohawk to be sunk off the coast of Sanibel Island. They're just south of Tampa for you geographically challenged folks like myself. So there we go. All right, so now you're in Long Beach today. You stepped outside the exhibit hall to talk to us a little bit, and I'm heading over there tomorrow. A lot of stuff going on, a packed house or what, Pete?
It is a sold-out show, a sold-out show. There are more vendors here than there ever been. It's under new management, and the management is great. It's the people who own Dive Training Magazine. So, you know, it's done respectfully. It's done well. We have all sorts of people here. The Roddenberry dive team's having a party tonight. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
And it's just a phenomenal place. It's hard to move around. It's so crowded.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some diving while we're out there, too. Now, literally, as soon as we finish up the show today, I'm heading on a plane. We're flying out there. The Scuba Cowboy, Mermaid Tiffany, and myself are going to hang out at the show on Sunday. And then on Monday, we're actually going to do what will be my first California dive.
Are you bringing your 20-mil wetsuit?
Well, the folks from Body Glove are going to hook us up with some stuff to use so we don't have to carry a big truckload of gear out there to the left coast and can kind of travel light. So they've been nice enough to accommodate us with a 7-mil wetsuit. I got a few other warm trick devices up my sleeve that I plan to put into effect because I hear if I'm lucky, the water's going to be in the 60s.
You know what they call that warm spot in your wetsuit, don't you?
Right there in the front, in the lower extremities, or what do you mean?
That's called a urincline.
Of course it is. Leave it to Pete to have a
name for that.
Yeah, is that's actually the official scientific term, isn't it?
It is for me.
Yeah. there may be one of those. I'm sure we're going to encounter a few of those, actually, maybe on this dive. But, no, I'm looking forward to it because they're saying the sea lions, we might see some kelp. I don't know. It's right off of Redondo Beach. Do they have kelp there or no? Or do you got to go further north? I have no idea.
I think they have kelp all the way up and down California. It's pretty known for its kelp. We dove off there last year at Catalina. And, they had kelp right off the shore.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time, I have no doubt, because I'll be hanging out with my good friends from Body Glove, Bob Evans from Force Fins, and you'll hear all about it.
He's a great guy.
Next week on The Big Show. More coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
You came all the way down here for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. Meetings I never attend. All I need is blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
Happy Cinco de Mayo to you. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Now, we're just talking to Pete from Scuba Board, you know, about our little left coast dive adventure that we're going to do here in the next couple days. And I figured, why not just talk to Bob Evans about what to expect as opposed to going in totally clueless like I normally do? Because Bob Evans is on Scuba Radio right now. And Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but this area off of Redondo Beach in California is where you grew up diving. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. Is Pete going to be joining us?
Well, he's going to be out there at the scuba show. He's out there enjoying himself. We'll hang out, but I don't think he can join us on the boat that day. But who knows? Maybe we'll twist his arm and bring him along. You never know.
Well, Bob Maestro is going to be taking us out on the Body Glove boat with the whole Body Glove crew.
Right.
And we might go to Palos Verdes. I haven't had a chance to talk to Bob where we'd like to take us. Probably depend on the visibility. But he discovered these Chinese stone anchors off the Palos Verdes coast. There's still a couple of them underwater. And I think that would be really cool to check out.
Sure. Well,
I've actually never seen them. He discovered them years after I started diving back there in the early 60s.
Well, a couple years ago, Bob, you were nice enough to take us over to Bob Maestral's house, and didn't he have one of those out in his yard or something that he said was a relic? This was an ancient anchor or something, or what? Don't you remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure it was a smaller one, but compared to what is probably down in the water. But he said, yeah, and it was just a giant round cement rock with a hole in it. But he said this is what they used back in the day before they had anchors, which makes sense, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's still been a mystery. I mean, they have no idea who actually created those large stones.
Aliens.
Kind of like those stones they have over there in Polynesia. They roll around like money.
That's right. There you go. You're
almost
right.
The same size. It's kind of ironic.
Yep, it is.
You know, they who knows who was visiting this coast, 14,000 years ago. I mean, there's a lot of history out here. But the exciting part is I want you to see the Redondo Beach Submarine Canyon.
Okay.
I mean, it's like diving on a wall in the Caribbean. I mean, you go along a sandy bottom, and then the next thing you know, it's hard to explain. It just drops down into pitch blackness. It's very spooky. And I've ventured down a short distance into the canyon wall. It's very much like looking at the Mariana Trench. I mean, it's tube worms and just very barren and very moon-like. So I think that's something that even diving anywhere on this planet, diving into a submarine canyon on the edge of a huge submarine canyon that runs all the way out to the continental shelf.
Well, you never know. I don't know if they still have submarines that cruise through there, but maybe we can wave to James Cameron or something.
Well, the Maestros took a sub down at nighttime, and they came across a lot of sharks.
Really? Okay, well, yeah. We're going to dive during the day, though.
Who knows? And another really cool thing is, Greg,
what?
They took all the old lamp posts in the city of Los Angeles, and they dumped them right on the edge of the submarine canyon, and that's another cool dive. Then the Maestros placed toilet bowls along the edge of the canyon to collect lobsters, so that's another fun thing that we can check out.
Are you kidding me? They got a toilet bowl lobster trap.
Yeah, the Maestros were the first to take all these toilets, and they had a cousin who was in the plumbing business, and they dumped them on these sandy bottoms, and they turned into havens. In fact, that's where I first discovered artificial reefs, as the Maestros with their toilet bowl
project. Nice. So there's an underwater rest area there that we can stop over and get have a little rest stop and maybe photo op.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So, okay, so this is definitely sounds like a different style of diving. The water temp, I'm hearing it's going to be like in the 60s if we're lucky. Is that about right, you think, Bob, or what?
I don't really have any idea. It's cold at first, but if you're in one of those body glove wetsuits, you'll get a little cold water and then you'd be nice and warm.
That's right. We're going to go through a urincline, according to Pete from Scuba.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe see a thermocline.
Hey, maybe, but I'm sure we're going to experience a urincline.
Well, I'm going to go grab an enchilada and celebrate today.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Greg.
Yeah, well, you got it.
I'm pulling out all my gear this weekend. And
getting it all ready to go?
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
Well, let me ask you this, though, before you go, because I want to know what we might see. I mean, are we in an area where there's actually kelp and stuff, too, or is that further north?
That would be Palos Verdes.
That would be. Okay,
yeah,
maybe
we'll make a dive out on the Palos Verdes by the Dominator. It's a ship that hit out there, and the Maestros were just out there recently salvaging some of the metal off of it.
Yeah.
So just be Bob Maestro. We'll just kind of have a surprise for you. We'll maybe make two dives, and we'll do a canyon dive, and then we'll do a shallow dive off of Palos Verdes.
But as far as critters, what are we talking about? Sea lions is a good possibility, or, lobsters you had mentioned before.
Yeah, basically the same life you'd see around Catalina. I mean, the whole coastline's come back. But the canyon, the submarine canyon, is something that's unique to this California coast. There's another place, I think off of Corsica, they have a submarine canyon. And also we can maybe dive on the old pier pilings that go out to about 70 feet of water where they had the old wharf, and you can find little clay pipes and all sorts of plates that were thrown over from the Pacific Steamship Company that used to come in there. And that bottom is that continually, that sand is moving like a river along the coast, and it flows down. If you've seen pictures of like Cabo San Lucas with the waterfalls of the sand, that's another submarine canyon down there. And the sand, you can actually see it moving down in some areas down into the canyon.
Now, is this, maybe you said this already, but this submarine canyon, is this a natural formation or just a waterway that they actually used to have submarines go through? Or
no,
do they still go?
It's a natural canyon,
okay.
Being underwater. They call it a submarine canyon. But
all right.
It's like a land canyon, but it's massive. I mean, it cuts up right up through the Catalina Channel, right up to almost within 30 feet of the shoreline. It's really weird. I mean, you can dive right off the beach off of Emerald Street, and we might do that. We might just take a beach dive. It's really great. And you're 30 feet out, and all of a sudden you start to see the remnants of the old pier pilings, and just follow them out. And at the end of the pier is where the canyon formed. It's cool.
I like it. All right. Well, we're going to do that in a couple days, and you'll hear all about it next week on The Big Show. More coming up on our
Cinco. Margaritas.
Yes, it's Cinco de Mayo. Start pouring, everyone.
Scuba
Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is a Cinco de Mayo edition of Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the dive master. You know, on the way into the show today, I saw something that I've honestly never seen before. And I thought I've seen it all. But, you know, Scuba Radio Drunken Santa has branched out, has diversified into every holiday imaginable. He's done Earth Day. He's done St. Patrick's Day, of course. That's kind of a religious holiday for him. But he dressed up as an Easter bunny, all this. On the way into the studio today, I saw him dressed up as a giant jalapeno pepper. At least I assume that's what he was. We are going to connect with him in just a bit and find out what the heck is he. Obviously, he's trying to make a few extra bucks, but we'll see how he's doing a little bit here on The Big Show. But first, we have the Scuba Radio monthly giveaway. If you go to scubaradio.com, we have a little banner that you click on. You can register for this thing and win something pretty cool. We give away stuff all the time. Sometimes I don't even mention it on the air, by the way. However, you know, I'm going to make an exception today and see if we can make John from Mayflower, Arkansas. Well, just see if we can't brighten his day. John, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Greg.
Hey, John, I have an entry from you that says that you entered a contest on our website. Does that sound accurate to you?
Probably. I listen to you.
Well, that's close enough for me because we have a new Cobra iRadar detector just for you. How about that?
That is awesome.
Yes, you are the Scuba Radio monthly winner at scubaradio.com, so congratulations. We'll get that out to you direct from the factory at Cobra. And that way, when you're driving to the dive site, you won't have to worry so much about speeding a little bit faster than you're supposed to. You hear what I'm saying there, John?
You're wonderful. I appreciate it. I love your show. Thank you.
Well, you know, brown nosing will get you everywhere. But he didn't even have to do that to win. All he had to do is go to scubaradio.com and register there at the Scuba Radio monthly giveaway. Like you should do right now, because we could give away another one even as early as next week. You never know when I may be in that giving mood. It is Cinco de Mayo, so anything could happen, including a guy dressed up as a jalapeno on the side of the road. We're going to get to the bottom of this right after the Divers Alert Network, Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. That's next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 211. If you're rinsing your dive gear by walking through a car wash, remember to be sure to check no next to the box for hot wax.
Can I help you?
One wash and lube, please.
Hot wax?
Please.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. How you feeling, Nick?
Hey, I'm calm, cool, and collected.
You say that like it's a surprise.
No, but I did have a moment of panic at the airport this morning. I thought I forgot my phone.
Scary. How scary that is, isn't it?
Depressingly so, but it turned out I had it.
Still had a moment of panic, huh?
A moment. But I tried to do what I always tell others to do. I stopped, I got myself together, got control, and I thought through it.
So where was your phone?
I put it in my bag instead of my pocket.
Ah, I love a happy ending, but you know what? This is a good topic for today.
Panic? How to or how to avoid?
Funny. I think most folks have the actual panicking covered. Let's go with how to deal or how to avoid.
Where would you like to start?
Let's start with the definition of panic.
Okay. Well, panic is that sudden, overwhelming, intense reaction to a perceived threat or stressor. How's that for a definition? And I say perceived because panic doesn't necessarily have to be caused by something real. It only really needs to appear real or be believed to be real.
Like believing every shark is going to eat you, right?
Exactly. They're almost always going to leave you alone. But if you've convinced yourself they're a constant or immediate danger, you might just panic when you see one, even if there's no actual threat.
But you can see how someone might get scared.
I can. But it's important to understand that fear and panic are two totally different things. Fear, and even anxiety for that matter, can be both healthy and helpful. They can produce adrenaline, and that makes us more alert to danger. And that can even assist us in finding solutions to problems. But panic, on the other hand, that goes way beyond and into the realm of irrational thought and even full-blown terror. That is not helpful and actually can contribute to an inappropriate or harmful set of choices. Those are the sort that you see panic people make if they can react at all.
That explains why panic divers are sometimes unresponsive.
Yes, panic tends to turn a person's focus inward, to the point where the perception narrowing we learned about in our dive training becomes a reality. The focus is zeroed in on one particular element of the problem instead of the whole scenario. And that really impedes a person's ability to deal with the overall situation.
So what causes panic?
It begins with stressors and fears and escalates from there. It can be fear of the unknown, an imagined threat. The list is pretty long of what a person fears, though. But as far as divers go, there are common stressors that tend to trigger the response that leads to full-blown panic.
Like what?
Well, a good one is task loading, or a fear of exceeding dive profiles and what might happen if you do.
Environmental factors are a big one.
Sure they are. Fear of equipment failure is a common one, and just plain being out of your comfort zone, whether from peer pressure or of your own choice. That's probably one of the most common of all.
So we tell people not to panic, but it's easier said than done. How do you really deal with it?
Yeah, I recommend staying within your comfort zone. Don't go beyond your limits and stay within your training and experience. If you've learned something new or you're learning something new, take your time and stay with what you're comfortable with. If you're getting into new areas, get training and supervision so that you stay within an area where you're supported.
And take care of yourself. If you're not feeling up for the dive mentally or physically, just don't do it.
That's a great point. If you're not up for it, it's better not to dive.
So what if you're unable to avoid it?
Well, before you get into full-blown panic, you'll go through some initial stages of fear and anxiety. When you feel that coming on, stop. If you do nothing else, stop. Doing that will give you a chance to think. If you find you're having trouble thinking clearly, just breathe. Those three steps are critical. focus on your breathing and remind yourself that it means you're okay. The key is to try and retain some level of calm, because if you can do that, you'll be in a better position to find a solution.
And of course, once you find that solution, act on it.
Yep. Get yourself to the surface and inflate your BCD. Another option is to drop your weights if you have to signal for help. But above all, keep breathing as normally as possible and try to stay relaxed.
What if it's your buddy who panics?
First, do your best not to join in. Second, don't do anything that will put you at risk.
Especially since they may not even realize you're trying to help, right?
Right. If you have to approach, do so in a way that avoids flailing arms and legs. And if you're able to help alleviate a problem, something like disentangling the diver or inflating their BCD, do it. Do what you can to help, but again, don't put yourself in risk.
Is there any way to be sure you avoid panic?
All you can really do is reduce the chances, like we've talked about here. But no one's immune to panic, and there's no guaranteed way to avoid it. But if you can avoid those factors that cause fear, you can take steps to reduce their impact on you. But even the most seasoned divers can panic, and it can be for a variety of reasons. People can be disoriented, have nitrogen narcosis, or unable to communicate. You just can't know. The best you can do is avoid what you know to be problematic. Try to recognize impending panic either in yourself and others and deal with it while it's still in the anxiety or lower level phases to maintain a level of coherency that will allow you to deal with the problem.
Comfort is the key, you think?
Comfort is the key.
Some are more prone than others, but no one's immune to panic. So be aware and be prepared. Know yourself and what makes you anxious, and do what you can to become comfortable with the situation. Stay within your comfort zone, and if you feel your anxiety start to rise, do your best to stay calm and in control. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, we are back on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I have Jimmy the Bubble Boy on the line. Jimmy, how are you, my friend?
I've seen better days, Greg, man. My eyes are watering. I'm standing here next to a giant jalapeno.
It is.
Oh, he wants to talk to you. Hold on.
It's Cinco de Mayo, and Scuba Radio Drunken Santa has diversified into every holiday, and he's evidently dressed up as a giant jalapeno.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, all the Scuba Radio.
You know you're going to cause a traffic accident out there.
Ay, 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 ay.
What are you doing exactly? What are you hoping to achieve by dressing up as a giant jalapeno for Cinco de Mayo?
I'm trying to raise awareness for guacamole abuse.
Guacamole abuse. I didn't know that was a problem.
Have some dip and some delicious tortillas and leave. It's very wasteful. They leave like most of the guacamole in the bowl.
Okay.
That's very wasteful.
Very wasteful. Okay, so that is your message for Cinco de Mayo is to
go green and recycle your guacamole.
Save the guacamole. So you.
So says I, Senor Caca.
What? No. You have a name? No, that's
Senor Caca.
Okay, that's enough of that. Quit it. So you are dressed up as a giant jalapeno, and are you asking for money?
We're asking for your pesos.
Okay.
Pesos, and so far we've raised $7.12.
All right, very nice. All right, and
they are very generous.
Yeah, evidently.
With their pesos.
But what is the sign that Jimmy told me? You're holding a sign that says "We'll work for booze." Is anybody?
That was before we decided about the guacamole.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy was nice enough to bring us some adult beverages.
Yeah, they're going to throw bottles of tequila at you if you're not careful.
Yeah, everybody loves me. Everybody loves Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, and so it's a little bit about spreading the joy and saving the guacamole in your eyes.
That's right.
What is the big picture here, Scuba Radio Drunken Santa? I mean, you're picking every holiday and dressing up as some kind of mythical character for that particular holiday. What is the ultimate goal here? Do you have one?
Oh, it's just the I'm trying to raise awareness for our fellow man through the eyes of a child. And what better way to reach the human spirit than through the eyes of a child? And children love holidays.
And but they shouldn't be eating jalapenos, not a child. That's more of an adult.
Not unless you have your parents' permission.
Okay. All right.
Well, and we do have forms.
Release forms.
Most of the kids don't like jalapenos.
Yeah, you're finding that out, are you? So this holiday isn't really working out real great for you, huh?
But we're very smart. After doing, we do guerrilla marketing, and we have decided this time we're smart. This time we set up by a portalette, and we dress up as a gorilla.
All right, okay, enough. All right, all I can say is
San Margaritas.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, and we're sorry.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
So, what made you finally decide to sell?
Moving to the Cayman Islands.
Oh, that'll be a change from Seattle.
Gee, you think?
Yeah, they have great scuba diving down there. You scuba?
Do I look like I scuba? I'm lucky I don't need a tank to breathe on land.
How I wish you were here. We're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master on a Cinco de Mayo edition of the big show. Now, a couple weeks, May 18th through the 20th, we got the Rebreather 3 Forum. And right now we are connected with the Cayman Islands. Steve is the senior instructor at Dive Tech there, and they are going to participate in the Rebreather 3 Forum. Steve, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you, my friend?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. How are you?
I am good. Now, I know you're working with Nancy, the owner of Dive Tech. You're coming to Orlando for the Rebreather 3 Forum to talk about losing those tanks and taking on the Rebreather adventure. But your element or your seminar is going to be how to travel with this gear, because it's a little intense in that regard, right, Steve?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what we're trying to do is to put the information out there to all the rebreather divers and all the budding rebreather divers to try and maybe put forward some hints and some tips on how they can take the sting out of traveling with potentially more luggage than they would normally. But also as well, it's also to try and work together with the governing bodies to see what can be done from, you know, the airport security perspective and the airlines, etc., to try and help the rebreather diver in getting to all these new destinations.
Yeah, I mean, I've almost went through a cavity search type of thing when I tried to take a banner through Homeland Security or through TSA. I can only imagine what they think of rebreathers, because it looks like some kind of spacesuit and gear they've never seen. So is that kind of what you're addressing, on how to explain this stuff to them or educate TSA or what?
Well, I think it's a mixture of both. I mean, the diver can make life easy for themselves by, you know, packing things in a certain way or not bringing certain components because they're available at the dive resorts that they're going to. But also as well, with the advent of more rebreathers hitting the market and more people taking up this particular aspect of the sport, it's also an attempt, really, to get the governing bodies, the TSA, etc., on board in terms of what exactly is being carried. And the fact that it really is not a risk at the end of the day.
Right. So it's a little bit to educate them as well, so they know what to look out for or won't be so unfamiliar with this this new type of dive gear it's becoming more prevalent.
Absolutely.
For dive travelers. So obviously, you know, I'm a rebreather certified diver. I know one of the issues is tanks. And so let's talk a little bit about some of these specifics, because is that one of the elements that you should be able to leave at home if you do your research or check with a dive operation you're planning to go diving with and see if they have the tanks available to you or what?
Absolutely. I mean, if you do your research and, you know, you target a destination, if you find out friendly, then, of course, if they can provide tanks, then they should. And this is where Dive Tech seems to be leading the way in a great manner, because we're the friendly resort. We do have a significant quantity of rebreather tanks for pretty much any rebreather on the market. So we try and actually support those divers by giving them as much as what they need here in Grand Cayman, rather than having to bring it all with them and getting the excess weight limits and getting all those questionable glances from the people who actually check the baggage.
Right. Well, and that makes sense. And I know a lot of operators are trying to do that, especially if they're focused on one particular brand. They'll try to make sure they have all the gear there for you to accommodate those specific types of rebreathers. What about whether or not to pack this stuff in your luggage versus carry-on? Because I know a lot of divers, don't like to put, you know, regulators and that type of thing in their check baggage with the risk of it getting ripped off or something. But with a rebreather, you pretty much have to check this stuff. It's pretty much too big to try to do any kind of carry-on type thing, wouldn't you think, or what?
Well, that's a very emotive subject, and everybody who owns a rebreather is going to have a slightly different opinion. A large number of the rebreathers out there are robust enough to be able to withstand transport in their own crate going in the hold.
Right.
But there are also a couple of smaller rebreathers which actually do fit in carry-on luggage. So, you know, again, depending on what it is that you are using, it depends very much on where you're going to put it. But ultimately, it's the diver's choice in terms of how safe they feel that their equipment is and what ports of entry that they're going to be using to get to their final destination.
Steve, what do you think's the biggest myth when it comes to traveling with a rebreather, when you're flying to different destinations?
I think one of the biggest myths is that... From the customs and the security perspective is, I don't know what this is, so therefore I'm going to treat it as hostile or as a threat. But equally, I think the biggest myth from the budding rebreather diver is you know, I'm getting into a world now where I cannot take my rebreather abroad because it's going to cause problems. So what we're trying to do is to address both of those fears to show the diver, for example, that he can travel with his rebreather, and also as well to show the customs and the security people that there is actually nothing within this box that is going to cause a concern.
Right. Well, and that makes a lot of sense. I was pleasantly surprised by that myself because I kind of thought that going into this as well. Like, it's going to be nice to get certified as a rebreather diver, but I'm never going to be able to travel with this thing until they tore it down and put it in a little travel package and said, look, you know, this doesn't weigh and it doesn't take up any more space than a regular open circuit setup. I was pleasantly surprised. So that's the kind of stuff you're going to address, right?
Very much so. And with the you know, the way that technology is moving, rebreathers are getting smaller, they're getting lighter, they're getting more simple in a lot of respects.
Yeah, and that will be addressed at the Rebreather 3 Forum, May 18th to the 20th. That's rf30.org. Go there, get your tickets, join us in May, and you'll learn about this and much, much more. Steve, thank you so much. Enjoy yourself in the Caymans, and we'll see you in a couple weeks, okay?
You are more than welcome. Have a great day now.
More coming up in Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters? Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.